sourdough bread, tangy and sweet, with a chewy, springy interior and crispy crust. Baking it is an ancient technique, the simplicity of which has remained constant through centuries. The sourdough's hardness, its thick crust, its strong flavor, and its short shelf life stand in opposition to modern commercial white bread. American white bread, disgustingly soft, flavorless, with a shelf life so long it is both impressive and scary at the same time. It is the pinnacle of modern food manufacturing. By design, nothing about commercial white bread is natural or good for you. Every element of manufacturing efficiency and taste of white American bread is standing in opposition to the sourdough bread. Lately, sourdough has marked a cultural comeback.
Welcome to the Ballerina Farm Kitchen. Today we are making sourdough bread. We're going to do a tutorial video of step-by-step how to make your first sourdough loaf.
It is a bread, the bread, to feed the rebellion against the decay of Western society. Temporary peaking in its popularity during COVID lockdowns, it also found a permanent home in diets and online culture of a uniquely feminine content space. So, is this video about sourdough? No. But also, yes? This video is about tradwives, their rising popularity, their struggle to bake bread, build a movement, and make an imprint on modern culture without leaving their kitchens.
Wives submit to your husbands, and that's just obvious. But then to practically walk that out is a different story.
Tradwife content has been a popular staple of the online Anglosphere and has even found some popularity on the international stage. Stuck somewhere between mommy blogging and cottagecore videos, tradwife content is characterized by pastel colors, floral patterns, clean, plastic-free kitchens, where the main characters of the show cook, clean, talk, and entertain the viewers. Kids, dresses, farmhouses, freshly baked bread, from scratch elaborate meals, and also submission to one's husband, pro-life advocacy, and conspiracies about the global world order. Tradwives are in the center of popularity and worship, but also criticism, claiming that their ideas promote sexism and harm women. The point of this video, though, is not to impose judgment on the women discussed here, nor to go over the pitfalls of choice feminism, but to analyze the cultural footprint of the content produced by these women. It is easy to dismiss tradwives and their work as unimportant and perhaps trivial. To claim that women are just incapable of choosing to live in their own kitchen by their own free will, or that the digital work that they put so much effort into has no meaning beyond pretty visuals and nice dresses. Both of those viewpoints, as I see them, are wrong. Here, I will try to really, seriously understand what the rise of tradwife content tells us about our cultural landscape and why the tradwives are so popular. Oh, but what is a tradwife? I hear you ask. Can't women just be housewives and mothers without pesky internet essays making video about how babies are evil and we should all be eating bug burgers or whatever? Well, first of all, that's not how I approach my research. Why would you disrespect me like that? We are not even 5 minutes into the video yet. But I also totally understand the appeal of the aesthetic that these creators present. If, for the rest of my life, I could just play with kids, pet cows, and bake muffins instead of worrying about survival under capitalism, I too would choose homesteading. Aside from pretty online content, I also don't think there is any shame in dedicating your life to leading a household. Yet, even the content creators loosely labeled tradwives sometimes look down on the title, almost as if it is a derogatory term similar to YouTuber. In their own words, they follow elements of traditional living but do not completely abide by traditional family structure, so therefore they are not really tradwives. Indeed, many so-called tradwives are well-educated, successful women that run media corporations on the back end of their families. Oh, but well, while they personally may not be tradwives in real life, their marketing, their aesthetic, and the politics of it all create online personas, avatars, that are posted online, and those are tradwives. The tradwife avatars call to the nostalgic, romanticized characters of Western culture, role-playing patriarchal utopias that never existed for the mildly erotic satisfaction of their online audiences. The fourth wave of feminism left many women dissatisfied, wishing for something else. The cultural trope of a strong and independent woman portrayed in a picture of a female CEO simply doesn't land well with women who have to work two jobs at a minimum wage to keep their kids fed. So in return, we see the formation of a new narrative that puts a strong and independent woman up for a revision. Tradwife content suggests that the solution for women is to put all of their effort into one aspect of their life, the one that matters most to confirming women anyway, in most of the cases, their home and children, to silent exclusion of all other areas of life. They promise fulfillment, serenity, or even bliss in a secluded lifestyle that intentionally spits on the idea of a liberated woman. But despite evoking stereotypical images of the mothers of the previous generations, tradwives of today are different. Comparison between tradwife content and stylized images of 50s housewives is very popular, but it misses anything beyond visual aesthetics. The stereotypical mid-century American housewife was not just a smiling woman high on amphetamines. The push to put women back into the kitchen after World War II was an ideological choice, and these women played a significant role in population recovery and in how we view the family in the Cold War era. The distribution of work within the nuclear family, working father and stay-at-home mother in a suburban home, was a contrast to the family structure promoted by the socialist bloc, with both parents working for the state while women's work was socialized and moved out of the household. 50s housewives were a weapon in the Cold War and ideological proponents of anti-communist action during the Red Scare, making sure that their neighborhoods, churches, and families remained free of the red malaise. Modern tradwives, however, do not have an external political enemy like 50s housewives did. Instead, tradwives fight against the parasites within their own society. Feminism, sexual perversion, big pharma, public education, mass entertainment, technology, government, and processed foods such as American white bread. The list of enemies standing in opposition to the tradwives is very, very long, and any woman aspiring to join the movement can pick her own battles and fight them in her own kitchen. As Christina Helland Hansen writes in her work, Tradwife Influencers and the Socialist Defeat of America, unlike the 50s housewife who inhabits a comfortable suburban home and sends her children to school, the tradwife values self-sufficiency and shuns interdependence. The tradwife habitat of choice is the countryside cottage, farm, or homestead where they homeschool their children. Many of them keep or aspire to own chickens and livestock. Most of them garden. Tradwives opt out of large systems and institutions. Few post about politics at all. On the rare occasion that a tradwife posts anything explicitly about elections, politics, or government, it is decidedly negative, often expressing a desire for the government to stop interfering with them and their families. Often, their opposition to anything deemed modern takes tradwives to the weirdest conspiracies and off-grid homesteading. But the core worries of tradwives are nonetheless rooted in very real issues of today. It is no secret to anyone at this point that processed foods, industrial waste, air pollution, and such have an adverse effect on our health. Despite many conservative spaces still pretending that breathing car fumes is healthy and fun, tradwives respond to the environmental risks with strong commitment to from-scratch cooking and rural living. Women in this space make sure their homes are free of plastic, Teflon, seed oils, and whatever else the latest evil household material may be. Some go as far as making sure their kitchens are free of all traces of modernity, raising their own animals and vegetables, and even ensuring their kitchens are electricity and gas-free. absolute self-reliance means that the woman does everything with her own hands, and it does not include fancy multi-cookers or KitchenAid mixers that would make any 50s suburban housewife no short of ecstatic. When it comes to wellness and health, the Tradwife movement plugs wellness ideas left and right, often independent of the advice's political origin, but rather based on its nature. Whenever a material, component, or ingredient is deemed harmful for scientific or conspiratorial reasons, it is removed from the household operations. Tradwives have zero tolerance for any potential risks to their family members' health or to the environment in which they live. The same goes for other risks, be it worries about screen time or fear that Bill Gates is trancing kids with 5G towers. Beyond the risk avoidance and opposition to current institutions, Tradwives also oppose the whole modern understanding of womanhood. Modern liberal society claims that women can choose which roles they take on, that not only are all doors open to women, but that we can be successful in taking on several life paths at the same time. In reality, it is expected that women take on all of the roles simultaneously. They become mothers, workers, consumers, household managers, and more, with little to no choice of their own. Ironically, women actually manage to meet those high demands, leading young women to outcompete men across multiple social markers. But any woman that tries to achieve all that is expected of her quickly realizes she is doing too much without getting any return, and that she either has to compromise or, just like 50s housewife, has to start taking barbiturates to keep the show rolling. After the choices are made, women, as expected for any normal person, will ruthlessly defend their choice to either undercut their independence aspirations or to reevaluate their family planning. So, it is not surprising that the Tradwife characters will defend their chosen lifestyle in their own content. That's what any normal person would do. Any critique against their choice to fully commit to homemaking can reverse a Tradwife to a combinatory position that they so wish to escape – an economic producer, a consumer, and a central pillar of a biological, social, and cultural reproduction. As I already noted, I'd rather be petting cows too. But none of the enemies of the Tradwives movement are as monumentally crucial as feminism itself. As many Tradwives describe their own movement, feminine, not feminist. In the movement, anything negative can be seen as an expression of feminism, and creators in the space will often blame feminism for most of their negative life experiences. From the push that moved women into the workplace, to the immigration crisis that is supposedly a result of women gaining the right to vote and putting liberals in power, everything is linked to feminism. Everything bad is happening because of women, and at a deeper level, all of your life failures are your mom's fault. The term feminism used in the Tradwife spaces becomes elastic and can mean anything negative. Vaccines, abortions, or plastic Tupperware that was so dearly cherished by the housewives of the previous generations.
A Tupperware dealer will tell you how you may qualify to earn this handsome Hamilton Beach adjustable electric knife and cutting board.
In the words of Christina Helland Hansen, instead of acknowledging that there are myriad variations of feminism, many of which are religion and family-friendly, feminism becomes a boogeyman that manipulates women into childless singlehood and instills in them a desire to accumulate capital and spit on Jesus. Despite embracing anti-feminism in words, in many cases, Tradwives utilize the language of feminism by claiming that the absolute freedom of womanhood includes their right to cosplay a little house on a prairie. I will let COVID-era Mrs. Midwest illustrate the point.
What are you going to do with all of this wonderful choice? But what happens when that girl says, I could be anything I want to be? Can I be a housewife? Can I be a homemaker? Can I be a mother? And then the feminists and society get mad. And then the homemaker's like, but I thought you said I could be anything. If I can be an astronaut, why can't I be a housewife? If I can be president, why can't I be a stay-at-home mom? If you said I have a choice, why are you now mad that I'm exercising that choice?
No offense, Caitlin, it was just a good example. Despite advertised anti-feminism, Tradwives, real ones, the ones that actually abide by traditional living beyond just making farmhouse content are the real powerhouses that can shade any female CEO with the amount and intensity of work that is performed by their hands. Quite symbolically, the ballerina farm stove never runs cold, never stops working, just like Hannah herself. Soft characters and moderation get thrown into the ditch when it comes to performing their feminine duties. Tradwives double down, post a fully edited video weekly, get a manual flour mill, conquer TikTok feed, can a year worth supply of vegetables, birth 10 children, birth all of them at home and without any assistance, homeschool all of them, reject modernity, embrace tradition. Do it all and do it all yourself. And maybe at the end, your multimillionaire husband will gift you an egg apron for your birthday.
Big present from Daniel. Hope tickets to Greece.
Oh, my egg apron!
He did it.
The last quarter century has been focused on giving women financial independence through employment. But the expectation of full-time employment for women also came at a price. Social and governmental support networks started to degrade as the neoliberal order pushed for the commodification of family and for the outsourcing of women's housework. Today, the 50s housewives are gone. Women have moved back into the labor market, but the role of a housewife has not been replaced. Instead, housewifery became a straight woman's extracurricular activity, or for those better off, it became outsourced to usually immigrant women. On that matter, Marielle Cooksey writes for Political Research Associates. We are now in the fourth wave of US feminism, a movement progressively more focused on diversity, intersectionalism, queerness, and openness about sexual violence and assault than earlier waves. But despite those positive steps, many women have been failed by the compromises of modern feminism and late-stage capitalism, unable to find a workable solution to the quandary of work-life balance. Gen Z girls have watched their working mothers lean into unequal workplaces, only to earn less money in a capitalist system that also devalues their domestic workload. With the challenges neoliberal feminism brought to women, the COVID pandemic posed another list of problems. Many women were forced out of the labor market, and many abandoned their jobs to tend to children who were now out of school or to family members who were sick. Those who remained in the workplace often had to juggle overtime hours and challenging family needs. Pardon me the unconventional points for the leftist video, but during the COVID-19 lockdowns, women bore an overwhelming dose of economic and social disadvantages. After COVID, many were forced to abandon their recently stabilized hybrid lifestyles, such as flexible schedules, as corporations pushed workers back into their cubicles of despair. It appears that, actually, we were not in it together. Not surprisingly, many original Tradwife creators launched their projects during early lockdowns and formed a cohesive, popular creative space during COVID. During those years, both creators and their target audience found themselves at home, struggling to reconcile effects of governmental policies on their families and lifestyles. Young women have to navigate extremely challenging social landscape on their own with little external support. This story is especially true for American women who have to build a family in a country with very limited access to healthcare, rapidly degrading women's rights, barely existent maternal support, and little help from their family members. Unsurprisingly, the bulk of Tradwife content producers are American or cater to American viewers, to the point that even I have to make this video very American-centered despite not facing many of the same structural challenges myself. American women face the sharpest edges of the modern world as opposed to their counterparts in other Western states. Some, inevitably, will give up the fight for the ever-vanishing independence. And for those who do give up, both making and watching content about homemaking, about traditional and even biblical living, can provide a soothing reassurance that the lifestyle they've chosen is a secret luxury that they've always wanted, and not an unavoidable result of the shitty material conditions of their life. All of this is ignored. Instead, fight on feminism remains the core problem of the Tradwife movement. Feminism as a concept is a perfect enemy. Unlike a government that openly strips women of their body autonomy, or corporations that force women in and out of the workplace on a whim, the mythical blue-haired college-lib feminist won't fight back. But enough about those annoying feminists and their pesky women's rights. Now let's talk about online marketing instead. This video is sponsored by... Now I'm joking. But you can give me a like if you are enjoying the show. It really does help a video find a larger audience. So, as you may note, there is more than a pair of boobs and a hot pocket that unites me and the tradwives in question. It is this. This being online content production that we engage in. It is commonly noted that tradwives show an unrealistic standard of motherhood and domestic labor. And while I think it is fair, I also think it is the point of their content. It is primary a creative output for these women. It is not reflective of their own life or even housewife life. Tradwives are often performers and media producers, and their experience as performers is more important than their experience baking or raising children when it comes to content production. Ballerina Farm is run by an ex-dancer. Nara Smith is an ex-model. Esty Williams is a failed fitness influencer. And Gwen Swinnerton even ran OnlyFans business on the back end of her traditional living content machine. Plus, just like with most type of online content, the creators and the audiences are different people. In the case of blogging, it is expected that there will be a significant financial or lifestyle difference between creators and their audiences. Otherwise, what's so curious about the vlogging if not the exotic nature of content? Livestock, kids, house on the land. Most of the viewers of these channels can't afford even one-tenth of what the tradwives have, just as kids can't afford all those secret playrooms which are so popular in youth content. The tradwife content itself incorporates pre-existing types of online videos, particularly vlogs, but also mommy blogging, cooking, edutainment, and even commentary. Women producing media often incorporate their own hobbies into their content. Nara Smith, for example, incorporates her interest in fashion and ASMR into her videos, which also seems to turn her cooking videos into a pink-washed rage bait for Facebook liberals. No matter where their creativity takes them, one thing remains constant with tradwives. Their content is extremely advertiser-friendly. They create open space for the advertising of grocery subscriptions, kitchen appliances, toys, maternity support, and wellness products with questionable amounts of heavy metals. Natural color schemes, wavy hair, smiley children, exquisite dishes. To cite Richards, Jones, and Trott on their work about tradwife aesthetics, tradwives turn domestic activities into content commodities for sale. It may seem contradictory for this supposed traditional women to provide for the family, but many traditionalist and even biblical teachings encourage women to support their families wherever possible, as far as their financial endeavors do not interfere with their primary duty at home. Less traditionalist creators also use ad revenue to supplement their independent spending and saving habits, just as with any other part-time job. Some content production projects, like Ballerina Farms, can even be viewed as a large-scale marketing campaign for the actual products sold by Hannah and Daniel Neeleman, that is, a grocery subscription service for overpriced, not-certified organic meat. All that makes me think that maybe, I did choose the wrong content niche to make money. But at least, I guess, I can say fuck in my videos without worries that it will affect my sense of womanhood or general advertiser appeal. Overall, tradwives create a rather unique digital space with characteristics not typical of other online conservative movements. While most of conservative media has a strong preference for uncensored text-based forums, plain memes, or uncut podcasts on suppressed platforms, women spread their ideology on the most mainstream platforms that you can imagine – TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram – in their projects, carefully crafted videos of curated housework are paired with discussion of relationships, conspiracies, and misinformed healthcare decisions. In addition, this is not an organized conservative movement, and it does not aim to become organized. There is no Andrew Tate or Jordan Peterson or PragerU of a TradWife space. TradWife space is a digital village of households, not a media space dictated by a small group of prominent figures as it is with Manosphere. Overall, TradWife spaces try to reconcile the contradictions of modern life. They are embracing choice feminism and girl boss behaviors in practice and try to combine them with the traditional gender roles. They advocate against technology and modernity while also utilizing mainstream media platforms and modern technology for their financial needs and their creative outputs. In the end, the media and adjacent online environments create a very unique space. Here, women are allowed to experiment with the traditionalist lifestyle within the shell of the modern world. The world that opposes traditionalist lifestyles through the capitalist commodification of family and also through its progressive cultural landscape. The contradiction between traditionalist values and the modern world is why tradwives advertise themselves as modern rebels. Because, you know, conservatism is the new punk, and the modern world supposedly looks down on those poor Christian women. In reality, they are looked down upon because it is an asocial lifestyle. Kids pulled out of school, mothers stuck in the kitchen making from scratch meals for a family of 10, geographic and social isolation, severed connections to old friends and extended family, strange diet of beef tallow and egg coffee, all are emblematic of the traditionalist movement. Tradwife content is also not aligned with a typical housewife lifestyle either. There are temporary periods in lives of many regular women who, for some reason, want or need to perform most of their labor at home, yet they remain active members of society and do not withdraw their children from the community or culture around them. Instead, tradwife media presents a picture of a wife who is happy in a permanent role of the family's primary caregiver forever, where she is also being completely isolated from the rest of the social and cultural landscape, with the rare exception of the church congregation or small community of other stay-at-home moms. She is the happiest prisoner of the voluntary house arrest. Families that are committed to traditionalist living behave as and are treated as the cult members, not as rebels. However, it is easy to confuse the two when experiencing social exclusion from the inside of the movement. The actual true harm of this online subculture doesn't arise from the aestheticized housework or from the embrace of any random content idea with the word feminine in it. Instead, it arises from viewers taking on this housewife roleplay a little too seriously, and from social isolation that comes with this extremely traditionalist lifestyle. Worst of all, harm becomes a real thing when women become locked in this imaginary world where being a good wife is supposed to shield them from real-life problems, as if wearing long skirts could save them from poverty or family abuse. At its worst, tradwife content is promising women that if only they become the right kind of wife, if only they submit enough, if only they pray, then they can cure their abusive or neglectful partners out of their bad behaviors. So many contradictions surround tradwife content, but none are as worrisome to me as the contradictions between the male and female conservative spaces. In the mainstream, this is what journalists call a political gender divide. In center spaces, there is a drift between young men who tend to identify as conservative and young women who tend to identify as liberals or Democrats or whatever. The divide, however, is going much deeper into the conservative spaces themselves. For many younger conservative men and the parties they support, women are a problem to be solved, not the people to be won over to their political cause. Andrew Tate's style of masculinity fully embraces polygamy, claiming that women are in constant search for a better partner and don't mind sharing a worthy man, claiming that a successful man is one with many unstable relationships, surrounded by swarms of ever-changing young women. Incels outright expel women as evil creatures who are only interested in sucking money and vril out of young men. Women bring them confusion and prevent them from waging a holy war against libs on Twitter. So-called pill communities prioritize self-centered optimization practices for men at the expense of any idea of family and treat women as commodities to be purchased with social credit. They link men's sexual activity to their social worth and reject any other parts of woman aside from her vagina as worthy of any attention. Accelerationist tech bros have a lesser view of women, too. For them, we are merely a necessary evil that they need to maintain before we make artificial wombs or get uploaded into a computer and jizzed all over the galaxy without need for such outdated concepts as love or family. Even Pearl Davis, the most visible woman of the manosphere, fails to pass into Tradwife spaces, not only because of her status as a single city girl, but also because her anti-feminist ideas are just self-loathing for an ad revenue. Her occasional attempts to integrate into Tradwife spaces are viewed as farce, and reasonably so. She may be wearing dresses for her interviews, but she also gives the clear impression that she has never milked a cow or managed a household full of toddlers and has no desire to do either of those anytime soon. The clear ideological divide between right-wing female spaces and right-wing male spaces raises many interesting questions. Like, what is sourdough bread for if your husband only eats raw steak and is more interested in the size of his pectoral muscles than in tending to household needs? Or how does a slow-living cottagecore supposed to work with a right-wing tech accelerationist? And perhaps most importantly, how can one conceptualize a woman as a lifelong partner and a mother of their children, even in this romanticized, traditional way, if the majority of right-wing spaces present women as harmful, incapable, volatile subspecies of human? It is indeed hard to marry trad wives to the manosphere. It is, however, very easy to marry trad wives to religious fundamentalists and blood and soil nationalists. And yes, in this case, religious fundamentalism is a milder option. As a bonus, many non-white creators have to search for ways to embrace those traditional Western values in a way that does not pay too much attention to their non-white ethnicity, and also religion can serve as a non-ethnic binder for a community. So, what does the trad in tradwife stand for? Is it gender? Is it faith? Is it nation? Tradition is a flexible term, just like feminism. It can be bent and twisted by the movement to mean many things, making tradition a fertile ground that can link tradwives to the man who actually share their view on the importance of our people's existence and the future of our children. White nationalists suggest a broad ideological, social, and cultural support to women. Even though their ideas only apply to white women, and well, not even all of us, they still suggest a better deal than a general conservative or manosphere platforms do. Based on their rich history, at the beginning of the 21st century, far-right spaces built an anti-feminist, pro-women platform to make the far-right attractive for women of a particular phenotype. Often, women in radical movements are the ones calling out to their sisters, in the same way tradwives call out to the women in their audience who would like to experiment with traditionalist lifestyle. Far-right spaces that recognize the importance of blood and soil No, they need to rely on women. Women, and here I use it as a short for white women, whatever whiteness may mean at any historical moment, have a rich history within the nationalist far-right movements, in particular in KKK and Nazi parties, but so in more niche groups as well. Building on a long-standing tradition, the far-right makes space for women in their traditional family roles, but also in their traditional community roles as educators and organizers, as figures who can normalize far-right ideas to the broader public. In the words of self-identified white nationalist Lana Lochteff, A soft woman saying hard things can create repercussions throughout society. Since we aren't physically intimidating, we can get away with saying big things. And let me tell you, the women that I have met in this movement can be lionesses and shield maidens and valkyries, but also soft and sensual as silk. There is no necessary link between the content creators in the tradwife space and white nationalism. Instead, tradwives and white nationalists exist in silent harmony with each other, producing content on overlapping topics with overlapping opinions and overlapping aesthetics. Tradwives often capture the same conspiracy theories and the same ideas that white nationalists do, but with a much milder tone. White nationalists love trad girl aesthetics, especially if those girls are white, married white, and continue to have white children. Women are fetishized both in a sexual way as pastel church mom archetype for men longing for their soft porcelain skin, and also venerated as heroines who carry the future of the white nation on their shoulders. Tradwives are often romanticized in the far-right spaces as mothers and wives who need to be protected. The purity of white women is always of importance to the nationalist groups, but even more so today, when globalization and immigration are viewed as a threat to white women's purity, but also to the white West as a concept. Tradwife content and aesthetics are often incorporated into the far-right's ideological output aimed at men, visualizing a dream for the movement's guys, a target for what their families may look like if they succeed. Tradwives' fear of modernity and opposition to change, their ecological anxiety and health consciousness overlap with the same fears of men on the far right who see immigration, environmental pollution, and globalization as main threats to their well-being. For the men who embrace right-wing movements, tradwives become a sort of a conservative only fan figures, a substitute for a fetish. Tradwives also don't overstep the role defined for them in the right-wing spaces. They are channeling the content straight out of their home, barefoot and pregnant, as intended by the nationalist movements. Tradwife popularity and aesthetics are opposed to career-driven presence of prominent millennial right-wing women like Lauren Sutton or Candace Owens, who are historically criticized for overshadowing men in the movement rather than being wives and mothers. The combination of the two movements, if they ever openly embrace each other in popular culture, will provide a potent union for questionable ideas. For now, however, they remain good neighbors, with white nationalist movements yearning for the warm, motherly embrace of the tradwives, and tradwives creating content funnels that have a potential to bring at least some women to the nationalist cause. But white women staying at home is not just a way to preserve the white race, it is also a way to do so while avoiding any form of socialized childcare, housework, or education. Quite convenient. Ethnostate does not need schools, kindergartens, or canteens, because all of that necessary yet unpaid labor is unapologetically dumped on women as a God-given pain. So the combination of nationalist and traditionalist movements can also provide an alternative solution to the modern governments that have no desire to provide wider social safety nets for families and are not interested in making women's lives easier anyway. The character of a tradwife is not only instrumental to white nationalist movements, but to the Western neoliberal governments that see their social fabric, public trust, and institutions coming off at the seams. Tradwives voluntarily accept enormous amounts of unpaid labor that in any other social order is distributed across multiple adults, and they ask for nothing in return but to be left to their own devices. In a similar way that the 50s housewife's role was important to the American government during the Cold War, the tradwife is neoliberalism's last hope. Biblical or traditional living provides a reproductive solution without compromising on the existing systems of governance and economics. No need for abortion access, reproductive care, or childcare. No need for sufficient financial coverage for her husband. as Richards, Jones, and Trott write in Neoliberal Capitalism and the Political Aesthetics of Trad Wife Imagery. By framing homemaking as an empowered rejection of neoliberalism, tradwife discourse obscures the material realities that make waged labor an economic necessity for most households. Rather than offering an escape from commodification, much of this media transforms anti-consumerist rhetoric into its own consumable aesthetic, thereby sustaining itself through the very market forces it claims to resist. The movement's apparent critique of capitalism herein becomes another product within capitalist markets, demonstrating furthermore how neoliberalism incorporates opposition into its own reproduction mechanisms. Tradwife spaces reflect modern neoliberal sentiment in their own behaviors, critiquing capitalism but not disrupting its flow. They desire to change their life independently, on their own terms, outside of any larger structural change in society. There is hope that we can solve significant social problems by locking the kitchen door on ourselves, by hiding in the comfort of our own homes, with our children safely by our side. A perceived marginalization of the movement is purely self-imposed, as in real life, nothing prevents a woman from practically choosing to be a housewife or stay-at-home mother of a hockey team-sized family. Nothing except for her economic limits. Younger adults increasingly struggle to achieve independence, let alone afford a family. This is a real limit on reproduction and, by extension, on stay-at-home lifestyle. Still, tradwives would rather avoid this conversation, instead often claiming that women need to be smarter about their partner choices if they wish to become housewives. The tradwife spaces and content may seem too niche, but really, the space these women have created over the years has become very influential for many other subcultures and movements we see online and in real life today. From clean girl aesthetics focused on skincare to the MAHA wellness movement in the White House, to homemaking, to a new wave of content trying to optimize and increase women's femininity, many are built on the foundation laid by tradwives in the last years. Many of these feminine movements share the protagonists as well. Women, usually white, young, pretty, and well-off, who post curated videos from the inside of their clean, custom-designed homes. Beyond the aesthetics, there is always this magical hope. A hope that embrace of woman's role as a mother, her expression of femininity, her energies, her positive thoughts, her tone of voice, or her type of clothing can significantly alter the reality around her. The ultimate hope is that through the rituals of womanhood, the woman will be able to change the life around herself to the point where she basically does not need to struggle under capitalism any longer. Ultimately, the hope that she will finally be able to liberate herself. I foresee that tradwives will remain active, and that popularity of their spaces will only grow, not only because fascists are coming to power, but because structural problems that make the myth of tradwife appealing are only getting worse. So, baking bread is therapeutic, and so is watching cottagecore. Distance yourself from the worries of the world. Hide in a blanket by a wooden stove. Hug a child, and let them hug you back for as long as they please. Here, we are safe. Thank you for watching. This video, like all of my work, is made possible by my patrons. Consider joining the crew for additional content and also communication on the times that I'm absent, or support my project with a one-time donation under this video. For those who did not unsubscribe in my absence while I was painting my walls, separate thank you. And as always, see you on the next one.